Accession number 18269, Reel 3.
Reel 3. What was the voyage like?
The voyage itself was fairly uneventful. The sea was rather rough for the Mediterranean. And I can't remember a great deal about the first excursion. I believe the ship and its escort had been spotted by a German reconnaissance, and so they had to alter course. And then, apparently, the local naval command decided we'd have to turn around and go back. But I've heard from post-war publications that apparently Admiralty countermanded that and said you must go on. But in the end, owing to these delays, there wasn't time for the ship to unload the troops and stores at Timbaki before crack of dawn. And so in the end, we just had to turn back and return to Alexandria. However, apparently, the powers that be decided that we'd have to make another attempt, and so we sailed again, just our battalion and brigade headquarters. And when daybreak came, it wasn't long before, according to the publications, Stuka bombers appeared on the scene. And from then onwards, on the ship itself, it seemed to be pandemonium. I myself and platoon were below decks, having put our machine gunners up on the decks. And in the hold, it seemed to be absolute pandemonium. The thumping of a Bofors and the rattle of small arms on deck. Probably the boom of bombs hitting the sea. My platoon at the time, those that weren't up on the Bren gun crews, were furiously reloading Bren gun magazines as fast as we could. After a time, I went up on deck to see how the Bren gun crews were getting on. The first one I came to, one of the fellows was literally shivering, visibly shivering. But I think as much as anything through being soaked in the sea spray from the bomb splashes. The other two gun crews seem to be all right, but at the end of that inspection, I noticed astern of the ship, I could see three twin-engined German bombers coming up. And even as I stood there looking at them, I saw two or three bombs released. And so I thought, well, this is time to get undercover. In going up an alleyway in the ship, I don't know whether I was blown there or what happened, but certainly there was a blast from a very close bomb hit in the sea. And when I went back, I could see a flicker of flames at the far end of this gangway. And so I went down to that end, and I could see that the pyramid of petrol cans in wooden cases was more or less ablaze from end to end. Funnily enough, I grabbed a nearby fire extinguisher and made it work, but it just sent out a silly little spray. Well, it wasn't a spray, it's just a thin jet, which was quite obviously completely useless.
Were there any casualties from amongst your unit?
Yes, I was coming. This same bomb blast had set fire to the petrol, and at the same time, one of the battalion Bren gun crews that was in a landing craft, infantry landing craft, mounted in the ship's davits, pretty evidently caught the worst of this bomb blast, and one of the gunners was killed. The landing craft itself was peppered with holes, and that was the beginning of the problems. As a result of these attacks and the bomb blasts and apparently a certain amount of machine gunning from the aircraft, a number of the landing craft were holed, and the only thing they could do about the petrol was to throw it overboard. It's quite impossible to put it out. The next consequence was that petrol supplies were lost, and having used up a good deal of ammunition against the aircraft, the net result was that because of this damage and the delays through having to alter course, it really was quite impossible to get the troops ashore and some essential stores before daybreak. And so the whole exercise had to be abandoned there and then. And so we just, in the night, we reversed course and went back to Alexandria. And on the route back to Alexandria, they buried at least one of the casualties. So I did witness a burial at sea. Evidently, after that, it was too late to do anything about Crete. And so we went back to the base camp area at near the Sweetwater Canal, again quite close to Ismailia. I remember at the time we had a new air raid warning, black, which was meant to signify attacks by German parachutists. But nothing happened.
So this is the whole of the battalion in the canal zone now?
Yes, the whole battalion, yes. Mm.
What were you, a second lieutenant by now?
Yes, I was, yes, from November, when I was commissioned in November 1940, I think you were a second lieutenant for at least 18 months before you automatically qualified for full lieutenant status. So then I was still a platoon commander then. After about a week, we were suddenly told to pack up and we put on trains and we went up to the Suez Canal, crossed over, and went by train right through Palestine to a place called Beit Lid in northern Palestine.
Were you told why you were going there?
No, we were not told why we'd been moved. But quite exceptionally, we were issued with two-man bivouac tents, so that evidently we weren't going into any tented camp, established tented camp. Having arrived there, we did have a half day off, and one or two of us officers managed to get a taxi or a bus into Tel Aviv, and it was quite a treat to be back in normal, civilized country, particularly nearly everyone white. I think it must have been the Jewish Sabbath, because none of the shops seemed to be open, but we did manage to get some food and drink. And one thing that sticks in my mind was that in walking around, we saw a group of about half a dozen troops in the khaki drill and shorts, and we said, oh, they must be Queen's men, and because they were so smart and tidy and, shall I say, well behaved. And they were some of our own troops. It's just a little point which stuck in my mind ever since.
Was that because the West Surreys had a particular reputation for smartness and good behaviour?
Yes, you can put it that way. I don't know about the general public or the rest of the army, but certainly we reckon we were top of the form. During that leave, we suddenly got a message return to camp immediately. And as soon as we got back to camp, we were all piled into lorries and buses. And about midnight, and for the rest of the night, we drove eastwards to the Jordan Valley. I remember seeing the oil pipeline where it crosses the Jordan Valley. That is the pipeline which ran from Iraq right through to Haifa. And we then motored up a very deep and quite frightening gorge in the dark. And by daylight, we just found ourselves on open, level, semi-desert. And then travelling north, by about midday, we found ourselves in a large village or small town called Daraa. there seemed to be a bit of local excitement amongst the military people already there, in that apparently they're expecting a tank by Vichy French tanks. However, these didn't show up, and so we were pushed on some 7 or 8 miles north of Daraa on the road towards Damascus. And as we drove to a bivouac area, we could see some gunfire going on about a mile or two away to the east. And that night we were told that we'd probably be expected to attack that area next morning. However, apparently the Vichy French withdrew overnight, and so we weren't called upon to do anything. During the course of the day, a Vichy French reconnaissance twin-engined bomber flew over, and at least my platoon had the opportunity of letting rip their Bren guns on and Akak mountings to drive off this plane. Probably the very same day, or early the next day, we were suddenly in bust again on what was an exceedingly hot day, and went back to Daraa, and then westwards for some 15, 20 miles until we were debussed behind a small hill over which a road ran due north. we were told that the other side of the hill there was a town which we'd got to recapture from the Vichy French. and so in the late afternoon we all formed up in attack order just behind the crest of this hill, and it was arranged that the attack should start when the Australian artillery, who were with us, landed a smoke shell in the main entrance into this town. My personal thoughts at the time was not particularly worried, but I suppose I was rather tense, because this was the first time that I myself was actually likely to come under fire, and so my mouth was rather dry, but it might also have been because it was so damned hot and we were terribly thirsty and hadn't had a meal since morning. But anyway, our mouth was so dry that I had to take a swig from a water bottle before I could really speak. Anyway, the Australian shell landed at the, right on the entrance to the town, which had a sort of wall all around it. And I thought, oh, this is just my bad luck. Here we are. You've got to advance slightly downhill over completely flat open grassland to walk up to a walled town and capture it. I thought, well, that's just my bad luck. And we're bound to have machine guns there. It doesn't look too good. However, we set off, and my platoon was given the area to the right-hand side of the roadway. Another platoon was put off to the allocated to the right to go round the extreme of the right-hand side of the town. And another company, D Company, dealt with the left-hand side of the road. So we advanced in open order, what I call broad arrowhead section formation, and just kept walking with fixed bayonets. After a time, the Vichy French did open fire, and you could hear bullets cracking past your head, but they must have been aimed at the people further up the hill behind us, because none of us were hurt. We found a deep tank trench all around the outside of the town walls, and so there was no means of getting into the town there. And so I had to lead my platoon through the entrance gate in the town wall and just take a chance at getting shot up as we went down the street. It so happened that we passed an armoured car that was ablaze. And we did ultimately advance down the main street and right through the town out to the other side. But the only resistance was that somebody down a side alley did take a pot shot at me as I crossed the alleyway. One of my section just behind me emptied a Bren gun magazine down the alleyway in retaliation. So we had no further bother either from the Vichy French, who'd evidently, in the early stages, we could see vehicles leaving the town. And my thought at the time was, well, we've got some artillery, why don't they shell this road while things are going? But anyway, they'd all cleared out, and when we got to the other side of the town, well, we just found no bother at all. But we did find that we were on the scene of apparently a battle that the 1st Battalion Royal Fusiliers had with the Vichy French, and apparently were more or less overrun because they'd run out of ammunition. In my platoon area, which was either side of the road facing northwards, we found four or five bodies of Royal Fusiliers, and also two or three dead horses. And I set up my platoon HQ in a school room. And I recall that most particularly because all the signs of a hasty meal having been left hastily with knives and forks on the table and plates half eaten, and pool of blood on the floor. But whether that was VC French or Royal Fusiliers, I don't know.
What was the name of this town?
Kunetra. At that time it was spelt K-U-N-E-T-R-A. Yes, well, we stayed there for two or three days in my platoon area, removing the bodies and burning the corpses of the horses. otherwise, we had the only evidence of the enemy was that every morning at somewhere around about 8 o'clock, this twin-engine bomber came over, obviously on a reconnaissance flight, just to see how far we had progressed.
How did you and the others feel about fighting against the Vichy French?
I don't know. I never discussed it with anybody in particular, but... well, the Vichy French were, for all practical purposes, our enemy. And in practice, I don't think we worried too much because, as far as we can make out, the troops we were mostly up against were Senegalese and not European troops.
What do you remember next?
After a day or two, we all moved forward by road, or some 20 miles northwards, to an area fairly close to another village at the foot of the El Mazar mountain range called Katana, Q-A-T-A-N-A. Here we took cover behind a large hill, which came to be known as Queen's Hill. And the very same night, my company carried out platoon night patrols. One towards the centre of this village, one to the left of it, and